Welcome back, Jack and Top Show, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton, Scott Eckersley here. We've got Ebling by phone, Dr. John Braccio in 15 minutes. Ebling, I got to ask you, we were talking about this in the last break. Before we get to your story about the game of the century, I think Kellen Moore throws like a left-handed girl. Your thoughts?
Well, you know who he reminds me of? It was a left-handed Dan Enos. He's got great touch on the ball. But
does he coach like Dan Enos, too? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, Dan got mad at me one time because I said he couldn't break a pane of glass when he threw a pass. But he was a pretty accurate quarterback, and Kellen Moore is one of the top quarterbacks in the country, no question.
Oh, he's efficient. There's no doubt about that, but he still throws like a girl. All right, so I need an old man story here. Tell me a little bit about the game of the century. Tell me the story you were going to say, because like I said, we didn't live through it.
Yeah.
You lived through it. Nothing's better than that. Anybody can listen to a 25-year-old talk about a game they read about last night. But please tell me some stories.
Well, it was madness. People were here all week from all around the world. There were more than 1,000 press credentials to cover this game. But the most amazing part of the ticket demand, a guy called up the ticket office, and they were tired of these requests. And the guy said, hey, I need a couple of tickets. And they said, well, good luck. You should have tried a couple years ago. He said, well, I wanted to know if President Johnson was coming to the game. And the ticket manager, Bill Beardsley, said, well, no, the president isn't coming. He said, well, if the president called you today and said, I've decided to come to this football game, could you find space for him in the Secret Service?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, yeah, I think we'd manage to get the president in. He said, well, he's not coming. I'll take those seats. And once he stopped laughing, he gave him 2 seats on the 40.
That's creative. That's very creative.
But it was an amazing game. You know, that's when Michigan State had 4 of the first 8 players taken in the NFL draft.
That is nuts. And I know that they had a very talented defense that year. And Notre Dame equally had very talented players on both sides
right.
of the ball. And what really amazed me when I read about it was the fourth down calls that they were making, and
yeah.
that both teams, as much as people like to say Parcigian kind of blew it at the end, it's not like they weren't trying to win the game. They were trying not to have Michigan State get a turnover. Is that true?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame was perfectly justified in what it did. Number one, it had another game next week against USC, which it won 51-0.
Yes.
But it had an injured quarterback. It had an injured center. It didn't want an exchange.
And they were already missing their All-American running back, were they not?
Correct. Nick Eddy slipped coming off the train on Friday, and that re-injured
right up there with
shoulder.
The Joel Zamaya type injuries.
Exactly. So Michigan State led 10-0, and they have only themselves to blame. They were in complete command, allowed Notre Dame to tie the game, and actually a little bit fortunate they didn't lose it. Notre Dame missed a field goal that would have won it 13-10.
Now let's talk about a little bit about this game today.
Right.
Your thoughts a little bit on what Michigan State has to do, on what Iowa has to do.
Well, I think the winner of this game will be the team whose quarterback has the cleanest jersey at the end of the game. I think both of these teams will struggle to run consistently. I think Michigan State has better special teams, even if Keyshawn Martin is not available to play. But I think that the pass rush will be everything. Iowa has a better front four. Adrian Claiborne is an awesome pass rusher. Michigan State's going to have to help DJ Young with a tight end or a back chipping. And Kirk Cousins is going to have to be very precise in his reads.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, I think Michigan State has a great chance to win the game. I think the Spartans are going to have a very difficult time matching up with DJ Koulianos and Marvin McNutt. Just does not fit against the Michigan State secondary scheme.
What's the story right now? Sorry to interrupt you. What's the story right now? We're going to talk about, I want to get your take on Chris L. Rucker
yep.
around 10:20. But for now, what is his status for the game today?
He is here. He made the trip. He was not doing any interviews and was kind of protected from the media last night by teammates who circled around him. But he is here, and I would expect they didn't bring him here to be a cheerleader.
Okay, fair enough. I got an interesting stat for you.
Good.
And I want you to tell me whether you think Michigan State can top this. So far, at home this year, Iowa's averaging 79 yards of rushing, giving up 79 yards of rushing a game. The only game that they've given up more than 100 yards, they lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Can Michigan State get over the 100-yard mark against that Iowa defense?
It can, but I don't know that it wants to do that.
I was just about to say, with a decent yards per carry, I guess.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
question.
If it runs the ball 30 times, it can get over 100 yards. But is that going to be a productive way to attack what I think is a vulnerable Iowa secondary, especially at the corners. Safeties for Iowa are very good, but I would say that Michigan State's receivers are a very good matchup if Kirk Cousins has time to throw.
What about Ricky Stanzi? I still think Ricky Stanzi has some Ricky Stanzi in him.
Yeah.
I think he can still get dialed up on pressure and throw some picks. I think he can make some mistakes. Do you think Michigan State tries to dial up the pressure even more than they usually do?
Well, you just said the magic word. If they can dial up the pressure, can they get that from the front four more than they could a year ago? And last week, they had 18 pressures on Dan Persa, which was tremendous. That's the most I can recall. Now, can they do that without blitzing? We'll see. If they don't, they're leaving those defensive backs on an island, and I think the Iowa receivers are the best pair of receivers in the conference.
I
think Michigan
State
has the best set of receivers.
I wouldn't argue that. Jack, thanks for being an old man and sharing some stories with us. We're going to get back with you at 10:20, talk a little bit about Chrisell Rucker. I want to get your take. Up next, John Braccio. It's the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.